This is Bart Isley. I'm here with the Scrimmage Play Podcast, here with Ryan Yeaman, and we're ready to kind of continue this deep dive into spring sports. This has been a really busy week again. First off the top, we wanted to make sure that you go out there and get a chance to check out our Patreon page. It's a great chance to win some awards, and support what we do. It's right there on the site. We've got a link right under this podcast if you're listening to it on the site. And it's a very easy opportunity for not a lot of money to support, what Scrimmage Play does and really kind of help us grow, help us, continue doing what we've done for the last 8 years now. So, but let's dive into it. This week we want to unpack several teams that we think, based on the body of work that we've seen at this point, may be primed for really good runs. Some of these are teams we've talked about before, but a couple of them are kind of new, new pieces of the puzzle. But let's start with soccer, and you got a chance to see the Almar girls play a little bit over the weekend.
Yeah, big game with them in Western, sort of the marquee matchup of the JD every year, at least for the last couple of years. And Almar, that was last year was the big push for them. I know we've talked about it before, but them getting to the state tournament, something. I mean, it had just been the speed bump they couldn't get over for a long, long time. And then they did it last year. They returned so much this year, talent-wise. And then, it took them a little bit, I guess, early on in the season. I mean, you wouldn't say it was too much of a learning curve for them based on the results. They've got a lot of 8-0 soccer games in there. But just looking at the backline defense that they have, the talent around and forward, but all the experience, all the collegiate talent, it just seems to be never-ending. It's just a really deep, even team that you have to like going into the playoffs. You look at the schedule, talking with Steve Heon over at Western Alabama, how different it is from baseball. Baseball teams are playing 3 times a week. Soccer and lacrosse and these other sports, they're playing once and twice a week. It's been a much more drawn-out schedule, and we're starting to get into a bit of a home stretch where they're starting to play some games, and we're getting a better look at them. And they're getting into more of a rhythm. When the playoffs come, those guys are playing a lot of games in a week. It's very different from the regular season. Albemarle's used to that, and I feel like they've sort of been just in a 2-year period really building up to this moment. And the way they played Western on Saturday, 4-0, just a really clean, neat performance from them. And you have to like what they have looking ahead.
Yeah, Brooke Baum, an incredible creator for them. She just does a little bit of everything. A really sort of special lacrosse, special soccer player. She's just been really good. And none of this is a knock on Western at all. I mean,
no.
It just showed how darn good Almar really is to go out there when you can play Western that way.
When you can string things along from a Hannah Iden to a Madison Kersey to a Brooke Baum to... I mean, any one of them, McKenna Winterton.
Fizzy Gonzalez has scored a lot of goals.
It's really ridiculous, I mean, just how easy it is for them to string something together. And then you have a collegiate goalkeeper in net. So everything for Albemarle, it seems like there's just experience and athleticism at each part of the field. And when the field is just even from front to back like that, it just sort of offense naturally happens.
And they're scheduled to play again later this week, and I think that we, Western may make enough adjustments that's an even better game than it really is.
And the first 20 minutes of that game were very tight.
Yeah.
It was very back and forth, and Western defense coming up and saving a couple goals there, a couple one-touch goals that would have happened, and they took those away. So certainly the opportunity for Western to learn and grow is there as well.
Talking to a couple of people, Shannon Moore for Western is just a ridiculous athlete. Everything she does, it seems like she's pretty darn good at. She's really well rounded, and so it's gonna be interesting to see the chess match between a few days in between games. Whether they're able to kind of make those adjustments, change some things up, and get a little closer. And so it's gonna be certainly exciting to watch. And Western is another team that I think can make a really solid run. It sets up nicely for them this year.
They've always performed well when it comes to the playoffs in particular. They made a run to the state final and fell to Blacksburg 2 years ago. And I don't think anybody saw that one coming. Ever since then, it's sort of been assumed that when it comes to playoff time, they'll really put it together.
So on the boys' side, two teams that, Almar, I think, it showed a little something with that Western win. But the Charlottesville boys, to me, are the squad that, based on, you know, everything that's in, you know, in the future, that it seems like that sets up for a really good run for them.
Yeah, I think we're really looking forward to the Charlottesville-Albemarle soccer game. It was supposed to happen Monday. Weather pushed that thing back. And, I mean, if you're looking for the playoff contender out of the GD, like, give us the winner of that game.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the guy that goes furthest. With Albemarle, yes, they had so many pieces to retool, but guys like Michael Vaughn, I mean, they're just, they've got so much experience from last year. Daniel Starr is a huge player for them. Ilya Budigar, they've got a lot of returning experience. And then with Charlottesville, it's always the Osmonds, always has been.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun to
see. Osmonds, Muhammad.
Yep. Yeah. It's been so so good to see Charlottesville take another step forward from last year. And I think that matchup going ahead, you know, they've beaten Western. They've beaten Albemarle already.
Yeah.
If they can do that again the second time around playing those teams, that is a big resume builder.
And look, I mean, they're just – Charlottesville's really deep. Alex Pfister, Campbell Brickhouse, Barun Tamang. I mean, all these guys have been, you know, key pieces in certain games, and they're all just playing really good, consistent soccer. It's hard not to get excited about, you know, what they've been able to do when things haven't gone exactly right. You know, last year, you know, they were able to kind of get to the brink. This year, maybe they can kind of push it over.
And the other thing about Charlottesville that you have to like is they're used to playing a little bit of an underdog role. We talk about how many, I know we talked about last year, whenever they play Western, for some reason, that game is just always super dramatic.
Yeah.
It's just something that happens no matter what year, however the talent is based out, whether it's weighted on one team's favor or the other. And Charlottesville's used to playing in those games and being sort of, I don't know, slighted in some ways, like feeling
they
as,
play with a chip on their shoulder.
And so I think in a playoff format, that's going to be huge for them. They made a really good sort of almost underspoken run last year when they didn't have their coach for a lot of the games. He was out because of having to deal with some family troubles. And so that was impressive by them, and to see how much they've sort of taken that attitude again this year. And I feel like that's going to be the same story for them going forward. I like the underdog feel for that.
When you look to just flipping over to a different sport, St. Anne's boys lacrosse, it feels like, is priming for a run. This is a team that, even with the loss of Norfolk Academy on Saturday, that's the kind of thing that has a tendency to galvanize Stab Boys lacrosse. They made the great run a few years ago as a sixth seed when they won the state, you know, a state title. And I think that this could, that, you know, Norfolk Academy loss, I think you said, like, Norfolk Academy very, very quick, very, very fast. So when you've got that, you know, they know what they've got to contend with, but this is one of the best offenses, not just in the state, but maybe in the country. And so if they win faceoffs, if they play a little bit of defense, they're going to be really good. And I think that this, a loss to Norfolk Academy and getting bumped back three spots, to me, I like that for Stab Boys lacrosse. When expectations change for them, they tend to respond really well. So I'm excited to see what they do.
Yeah, and last year they made the run to the state final before they ran to St. Stephen's. And I know there was a lot of talent turnover there, but with so much coming back again, it seems to be the familiarity for all these teams that we are pointing out is, you know, how much experience you have coming back. The loss on Saturday to Norfolk Academy, from an outsider standpoint, I know it was devastating for St. Anne's, but That is a lucky goal with fractions of a second on the clock. I did not take that sort of as a devastating loss. I thought St. Anne's played really well. That game was 1 and 2 goals apart the entire way through.
Yeah.
Stab fought back to tie that game up. They almost scored in the last second after. So there's a penalty for celebration, and St. Anne's gets a sort of a free crack at the net, a half court shot, if you will, kind of thing, and that almost goes in.
Yeah.
So that game seemed like it was destined to be decided that way. But yeah, like you said, when you have this offense that's so dynamic and really it just has so many versatile pieces, and you can do so much with it, any penalty means that you're probably going to get a goal, and that's exactly what Stab did all game long. Come playoff time, that's how you win state titles, is capitalizing on man-up opportunities.
I mean, you got Connor Schellenberger, you got Joe Robertson, Jack Schultz, Emma Barger. There's so many guys on this team that can score. And, I mean, that's that just is very, very tough when you get into the postseason where whoever's open can finish for them. And I think it's going to be fun to watch what they're able to put
together. And the other thing you like about that, a team that can score when it's not fast break opportunities,
yeah.
a team that can create offense when defenses are just sliding around and making adjustments. And there's some really, especially at the Division I level, some really good long pole defenders that you have to sort of deal with.
Yeah.
And for an offense to be able to sort of nip and tuck the way that Stab can do, that's huge.
They run some funky good stuff. Just a really fun team to watch. It's certainly one that you want to get out and see if you get a chance here in the next few weeks. They got a game at Woodbury that should be a really good one later this week. So moving over to softball, we're going to talk about softball a little bit before we unpack baseball. But Madison softball, Goochland softball, two teams that look like they can really make a run, and they're traditionally teams that can really kind of get in there and do some things.
Yeah, Goochland's always seem to find a way to plow through their region. They've been the class of the James River District for quite some time, and that's going to continue. I don't see anything different happening there. And Madison's funny because they lost some key seniors last year, you know, Samantha Breeden and so forth. There was a lot of young talent on that team last year that came through, and we're seeing Logan Estes, she's the real deal. She was last year. She's splitting time with Megan Shiflett in the circle, and this year she's getting to really sort of feature her stuff. And she throws hard. She comes from a softball family, and I think you're going to see Madison put together a couple of playoff runs in her time. It's got that sort of Lauren Seal vibe to it.
And speaking of seals, there's another seal stepping up for him. Lauren's younger sister has stepped in and is doing really well.
And the real hurdle for them is getting through their conference, you know, sort of making sure you don't count anything before it hatches. It's tough for Madison. We've seen that in a couple playoff formats. You know, in girls basketball, we always talk about Conference 29. How rough that is getting out of that, and that's sort of the issue that Madison's had before with the softball team. I think this year might be the year that they start to get over that and start to put together deep region runs. And this is a program that for a long time was just a mainstay in the Group 2A state tournament. I would not be surprised if they can put it together this year and the next coming years and continue that.
When we start to unpack what has become one of the most productive and really most exciting and deepest baseball seasons that we've seen in a while. It's hard to pick one team that is primed for a good run. In fact, it's hard to pick, you know, two or three teams, really. But if we're just looking strictly at the Jefferson District, you know, there are three teams at three different division levels that seem ready to make these sort of runs.
Yeah, Orange at the Division 5 level start out with the biggest schools. You got Orange and Albemarle that branch off into that group in Conference 16. And looking at Orange, they made the run last year. That was a big building block year for them. This year, they got a little more swagger. And that happens when you have a senior pitcher like Bradley Hanner and, you know, a senior masher like Trey Smith. You get a little more confident, and having the young kids and Cannon Davies and so forth, it gives them a chance to make an even deeper run, because you're only as good as your number two pitcher or sometimes your number three pitcher. They have to have that. It seems like they have that this year. This team won 12 straight. They lost two games in a row, and now they've won three or four straight again. It seems like they're on another run. We'll see what happens in the last half of the schedule of theirs. But you got to like the Orange is winning close games. I mean, they got one hit against Louisa, and they win that game. Those are the kind of wins that you feel like something is starting to just fall your way, or the ball is starting to bounce your way. It feels that way sometimes, but you create luck with attitude and just sort of picking yourself up after you make errors, that kind of stuff. And if things are starting to go that way for Orange with the talent they have, that might bode really well for them going forward. But baseball's a funky game like that where you need to win those games that you weren't supposed to.
Yeah. So, Division 4, Louisa County.
I mean, sticking with the same game.
Like you said, we were talking before this, they've had a little bit of a rough week, but
yeah, I think that 1-0 loss is the most perfectly, like, Jefferson District game this year, where Louisa technically outplays Orange and loses. And not because of, like, really any fault of their own. It's just a couple great defensive plays Orange made, one at the plate, one at third base, and you only get so many chances to get after Bradley Hanner, and they're throwing out. Louisa, what really impresses me with them is, so you've got John Reynolds, you've got Liam Grubbs,
yeah,
and now you throw in Tristan Snider, who his stuff looked amazing last night, and to have three pitchers, so you're only as good as your third pitcher, well, Louisa's is pretty darn good. And I think the fact that Louisa is going to be able to, if they just put together a couple runs each game, they're always going to be in it come playoff time. I think that's huge for them. This program's been really close with some teams that haven't been as talented as this in making a run. Maybe this is the year for them. But branching off to the Division IV schools, the Powhatans, the Louisas, and Charlottesville, I think Louisa of that group is the best fit.
So then you move to Division III. That's got the bulk of the district in it. When you're talking about Western, Fluvanna, Monticello, you know, who do you see coming out of what is a very challenging Conference 29?
This one's obviously tough because Monticello has always that playoff run in them. That's just what they do. And then talking to so many of the coaches, it's Fluvanna has a lot of scary pieces, a lot of young talent. And that's a team that it seems like they can win a game 8-5 and they can lose a game 8-5. They can win a game 2-1 and lose a game 2-1. They're sort of the most mercurial of the JD teams right now. They've got the talent to do it, but Western with Derek Domek, I mean, Domek and Hanner have been the story so far of the JD and just how dominant they've been on the mound. I think if Western can scrape together enough offense.
And it's looked really good lately. They had a really good game against Monticello. They looked good again last night against Fluvanna. Yeah.
That's a team. I know that it's hard to do every single game, but if they put together the offense because they have that pitching depth and Derek Domek as a true number one starter, you've given yourself a huge advantage. For them, it's really going to come down to how they're able to utilize him and get the most playoff innings out of him. That's going to be huge going forward. But, yeah, just piecing together, all the Western really seems to need is two or three runs, and they can get the rest done.
Garrett Payne, Ryan Sakovich, both guys who can get that done for him. So they've been really good. They've been hitting around. And then Wyatt Hull's been stepping up. And then Matt Mandel down, a little lower in the line. I mean, just it's kind of those pieces are sort of starting to fall into place for Western where things, are going well. They flew under the radar a little bit early in the year, didn't play all that many, as many games. But now they're playing really tough games. They're winning well. They did a nice job last night against Fluvanna, so it's exciting. So there's a few other teams, though. Obviously, we can't get to everybody, this go-round. But Miller Baseball with the big win against Covenant, that's a huge one. Miller looks primed to do some really big things in the postseason.
Yeah, and the cool thing about Miller is, this is what they do sort of every year. They play a really tough schedule. They must play like 30 games each season. Yeah. Billy Wagner really gives them a lot of games to try and get his...
Would they go down to Georgia or South Carolina and something, play a bunch of good games?
Yeah, they play in a lot of tournaments, and really that's just about trying to build pitching depth for the most part. But with Ethan Murray, Tanner Morris, Adam Hackenberg, this team is really hard not to like in the playoffs. Greenbrier Christian's been their nemesis the last two seasons. We'll see if they get over that hump this year. This would be the year for them to do it. They're the top-ranked team in the state. It's going to stay that way. They're going to be the favorites going into the Division II tournament, and I would not be surprised if this is the year they get it done. They made a couple state final runs before, and this seems like everything is sort of aligning perfectly for them to do it again this year. They just have to go out and execute.
Western Girls Tennis is another one that is going to be in that mix. Altmar Girls Tennis is looking really strong right now. So a lot of teams to look out for. We're going to have a lot of coverage coming up, as we kind of get down this stretch run. So we appreciate you listening, and certainly check us out on Patreon and jump in there and support us with a couple of dollars a month. It's a big help. So thank you, and we'll be back next time.